ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। शनै अथोत्थाय विमृज्या लोचने मुकुन्दम् उदिक्ष्या विनम्रा कन्धरः कृताञ्जलिः प्रस्रयवा समाहितः सवेपथो गद्गदया ऐलते लया। शनैरथोत्थाय विमृज्यलोचने मुकुन्द उद्विक्ष्य विनम्र कन्धर शनैरथोत्थाय विमृज्यलोचने मुकुन्द उद्विक्ष्य विनम्र कन्धर कृताञ्जलि प्रस्रयवान् समाहिता कृताञ्जलि प्रस्रयवान् समाहिता स वै पथुर्गद्गदयैलतेलया स वै पथुर्गद्गदयैलतेलया। शनैरथोत्थाय विमृज्यलोचने मुकुन्दमुद्विक्ष्य विनम्रकन्धर कृताञ्जलि प्रस्रयवान् समाहिता स वै पथुर्गद्गदयैलतेलया। शनैरथोत्थाय विमृज्यलोचने मुकुन्द उद्विक्ष्य विनम्र कन्धर कृताञ्जलि प्रस्रयवान् समाहिता स वै पथुर्गद्गदयैलतेलया। Matajis. Vimrijjalochane Mukundamudviksha Vinamra Kandhara Kritanjali Prashrayavan Samahita सवे पथुर्गद्गदयैलतेलया। शनै ग्रेजुअली अथ देन उत्थाय राइजिंग विमृज्य वाइपिंग लोचने हिज टू आईज मुकुंदम एट मुकुंद लॉर्ड श्री कृष्ण उद्विक्षा with folded hands. Sorry. Looking up. Vinamra Kandharaha. His neck bent. Kritanjalihi. With folded hands. Prashrayava. Very humble. Samahitaha. His mind concentrated. Save Patuhu. His body trembling. Gadgadaya. Faltering. Ailata. Brahma began to offer praise. Ilaya. With words. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Ravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Then, rising very gradually and wiping his two eyes, Lord Brahma looked up at Mukunda. Lord Brahma, his head bent low, his mind concentrated and his body trembling, very humbly began with faltering words to offer praises to Lord Krishna. Purport. Brahma, being very joyful, began to shed tears and he washed the lotus feet of Krishna with his tears. Repeatedly, he fell and rose as he recalled the wonderful activities of the Lord. After repeating obeisances for a long time, Brahma stood up and smeared his hands over his eyes. Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur comments that the word lochane indicates that with his two hands he wiped the two eyes on each of his four faces. Seeing the Lord before him, Brahma began to offer prayers with great humility, respect and attention. Om Agyanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guraho Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram Paramananta Padam. Hare Krishna. So here we come to the end of the part 1 of Canto 10, the purports written by His Divine Grace Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. This is the last purport in the chapter. And this is a kind of a climax that how the whole Leela has happened. Lord Brahma was bewildered by Lord Krishna. And in his bewilderment, he offended Lord Krishna by stealing his cowherd boys and cows and tried to hide them, thinking that nobody will be able to find out, and in that way the Supreme Lord will be puzzled. But the Lord very nicely and very without chastising Brahma directly, very indirectly, he arranged for such a rectification by which he also showed his magnificent powers, his super excellent opulence, at the same time humbling Lord Brahma. And as Lord Brahma, being utterly humbled by the amazing powers of Lord Krishna, just in the previous verse we read how he is falling again and again, falling, offering obeisances to Lord Krishna, asking for forgiveness. Normally, we see that whenever we ask forgiveness, you ask once, but when the offense is of a great degree, you repeat it again and again, again and again, to make sure that you are forgiven. So here, Lord Brahma, the supreme most living entity of the universe, the first Brahmana, the most self-realized person of the universe, he is offering prayers to Lord Krishna. And these prayers are the essence of his realization. With utter humility, he has not only, just as in the last class we discussed how he knows about it, but now he has actually thoroughly realized it. We say, anubhavat se bol. Like that. He has realized now, and he is going to speak. Just as a climax. He is falling again and again. Now slowly and steadily he is rising. Understanding that just asking forgiveness will not be enough. Now I have to please the Lord with beautiful prayers, with earnest prayers, with heartfelt prayers. So here he is beginning to speak. The heartfelt prayer that he feels, these prayers are not just combination of Sanskrit poetry, but these are something which has come from the deepest core of his heart, which he has understood thoroughly and making sure that, oh Lord, I will not make this mistake again. Normally when somebody makes a mistake, you tell him that, yes, you've made a mistake, but the mistake will not be a mistake until unless you learn the lesson and try your best not to repeat it. So here the Lord Brahma is again getting up slowly and steadily. Very beautiful verse, where he is slowly and steadily, the activity, you can actually visualize. There he has fallen with his four helmets, or his four heads, falling, touching the feet of the Lord, and slowly, slowly he is getting up, wiping his tears. These are not crocodile tears, but these are real tears of remorse for what wrong he has done. We similarly see in the past times in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Srila Haridas Thakur was preaching about the holy names in the city of Benapol. There, as he was widely spreading the glories of holy names, the influential person then, Ramachandra Khan, he was so much envious of Srila Haridas Thakur that he had wanted to defame Srila Haridas Thakur. So he arranges for a prostitute, the best of the prostitute, who could be won only with 1 lakh coins or 1 lakh gems. She was called as Lakshahira. So he went and told her to do something by which Srila Haridas Thakur can be defamed. And there she was, taking this challenge. She said, he is young, I am young. Give me 3 days. Don't catch us on the first day. Allow us 3 days. On the third night, I will defame him and then you can take him. So fully decked up and fully confident of her illusory beauty, she walks up where Shri Haridas Thakur is immersed in his beautiful chanting. So as Lakshahira enters, she first bows down to Tulsi and tries to appease Haridas Thakur. And when he opens his eyes, she pleads to him that, you know, somehow or other I am captivated by your beauty and overcome by lust. I cannot contain myself and I have a desire to enjoy with you. Please do this for me. So here, Shri Haridas Thakur, you know, on the first very moment, he could have blasted at her, understanding that what her desire was, because he knew everything. But he wanted to reform her. He wanted to change her for good. So he arranged for her to sit there and listen to his pure holy names, his Shuddha Naam. He told her that I will fulfill your desires. But for that, you'll have to wait, as I have some rounds pending. I have taken a vow of chanting particular holy names and very soon I shall finish it. But please wait. So, as the night passed, the chanting was not over and Lakshahira became very, very nervous as to what will happen now. And as the sun came up, she got up and left, because as the morning comes, everybody will come there. She went back to Ramachandra Khan, reassuring that next night he'll definitely fulfill her desire. Again the second night the same thing happened. She came, she again expressed a desire, and Shri Haridas Thakur said, just after some time I'll fulfill her desire, just wait. Again, next day, he did not pay attention to her and was chanting with full concentration. Again she became remorseful, and as she came back on third night, she said, how can you do this to me? I am a alone lady and I have asked you for this desire. How could you not fulfill my desire? So then Srila Haridas Thakur assured her, saying that for sure understand that I will fulfill her desire today for sure. And as she was sitting beside Srila Haridas Thakur, and there slowly and steadily, as he asked her to chant the holy names, she started chanting also. And in that moment of the mercy of Tulsi Maharani and mercy of the holy name, the pure chanting of the pure devotee, suddenly the covering of her ignorance was removed. And suddenly she understood what she was about to do and what she had planned to do, what she was going to do to such a big saintly person. And with full remorse, she takes shelter of Haridas Thakur. That very moment, she understands her folly and falls down at the feet of Srila Haridas Thakur, understanding what offense she was about to commit and how he has saved her. And then she asks him to please kindly liberate her from this wretched profession of hers, where she was used to sell her body day in and day out. Not only body, but her words and her soul. She kindly appeased to Srila Haridas Thakur, understanding what she was doing, that full repentance in heart. So here, Lord Brahma has committed already that offense. And, you know, such embarrassment, such great embarrassment has caused that he has offended the Supreme Lord. And he is now, we know, you know, what face will I show? And he has to show four faces. So here he is getting up. And at the same time, as the verses are explained, he is in an ecstatic trance. He is in an ecstatic mood. The ecstasy, the symptoms of ecstasy are trembling, shivering, faltering of voice. So here, all the ecstatic symptoms have come. So not only by the mercy of the Lord, Lord Brahma has realized what his folly is. He has not only realized what his folly is, he has also realized who the Supreme Lord is. what his position is. Although I might see him with two hands, with a short height, wearing simple cowherd boy clothes, carrying just a simple curd rice in his hand, moving here and there looking for his friends, but he is the supreme proprietor, supreme controller. He is the one who is my father also. Understanding this, Lord Brahma is full of remorse, ready to offer prayers. And along with this, Lord Krishna granted him that ecstatic trance, that ecstatic feeling by which he can experience the supreme bliss of having darshan of Lord Krishna. And many times, we also take darshan of Radha Gopinath, of beautiful deities. But what a pure devotee sees and what a normal living entity sees, there is gulf of difference. So here, Lord Krishna has granted him that supreme vision by which he is able to understand who the Supreme Lord is. And as now, he is about to begin his prayers. Many times, these prayers, as composed by the self-realized souls, are of different nature. Many times, they have a theme, and many times, they have absolutely no theme. Just, you know, because this prayer is out of his ecstatic trance, you know, suddenly he glorifies the Lord's beauty, suddenly the holy name. We see in the beautiful prayers of Mukunda Mala Stotra, you know, here the Lord is addressed as Mukunda, one who is the giver of liberation. Similarly, Kulashekar Maharaj, who suddenly one day got the darshan of Lord Mukunda, Krishna's two-hand beautiful lotus form of Shyam Sundar in his dreams. And suddenly, in the ecstatic trance, Kulashekar Maharaj left his kingdom and ran to the temple of Anant Padmanabh, where in a porch he composed this beautiful poetry called as the Mukunda Mala Stotra. And if we see these prayers of Mukunda Mala Stotra, suddenly, you know, he takes a very humble position of understanding that who he is and how sinful he is. And suddenly he prays, how I have seen Krishna. In one shloka, he is rebuking, you know, that is something which, you know, is so dangerous that even we cannot think of a dream. He's rebuking Cupid. He's saying, Madana Parihara Sthitim Madiye Manasi Mukunda Padaravinda Dhamni Haranayana Krusha No No Krushosi. He's saying that, oh Cupid, don't you understand that you have to leave the residence of my heart? For now, my heart, the residence is of Lord Mukunda's lotus feet. You have already been burnt, incinerated by the fearful glance of Shiva. Don't you fear the chakra of Murari? You know, in his ecstatic trance, he's rebuking, he's saying, you know, just out of my mind. Don't you understand that my mind is the house of Lord Mukunda? And in one prayer, he's praying that, you know, oh Lord, please, let my mind always chant. So there is no coherence here. Incoherently he is speaking and glorifying the beautiful form of the Lord. In one prayer, he is rebuking the people who don't hear Krishna Katha. Suddenly he is saying, Shinvan Janardana Katha Gunakirtanani. He's saying, those people who don't hear the beautiful pastimes of Janardan, Thikkar, you know, they are condemned. Their life is condemned. You know, the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, we take a humble position and understanding that, oh no, I have not seen Krishna. You know, I am so bad, I have full anarthas. But here, after speaking of how he is lowly in the previous prayers, suddenly he is saying how those people who don't hear Krishna Katha are lowly. Shrinivan Janardana Katha Gunakirtanani Dehe Nayasya Pulakot Gomaraji. Saying, by hearing the beautiful pastimes of the Lord, those who don't get ecstasy, not only that, those who hear, but those who don't get ecstasy, Pulakat Gomaraji, Notpadde Nayanor Vimalambu Mala, he's saying, and those who don't shed tears by hearing the beautiful Krishna Katha, Diktasya Jivitamaho Purusha Adhamasya. He's saying, Dikkar, condemned his life. And who is he? He's Purusha Adham. You know, he is Adham amongst the Purushas. He is the most condemned of Purushas. So like that, we see so many devotees offering different prayers in this ecstatic form, where they have realized what the beautiful position of the Lord is, and they are elucidating the beautiful qualities of the Lord, the beautiful pastimes of the Lord in ecstatic love. So today we have a very glorious occasion of disappearance of Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was very well known for his bhajan, his devotional service, his worship of the Supreme Lord in ecstatic love. So, you know, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj is called as the Vairagya Murti, and despite I have no qualification to speak on such a great personality, I would, by permission of senior devotees, I would like to make a humble attempt to glorifying this amazing personality. So Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, who was called as Vamshidas, was born in Vaigyan, that is now in Bangladesh, on the banks of River Padma, the Tepakhola district. There, in 1830, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was born. And then, as he was born in the Vaishya family, very soon, his parents got him married. And for 20 years, as he was in Grihastha Ashrama, after 20 years, his wife passed away at a very young age. After that, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he left everything and went to Vrindavan, where he met his spiritual master, Srila Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj, who was a direct disciple, one of the chief disciples of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. So in that way, you know, Bhagwat Das Babaji Maharaj was like the god brother of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So that's why we have the, and also Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj used to regularly go to Swanand Sukhat Kunj, the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and regularly hear the Bhagavad Pravachan and the Bhagavad discourses given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and accepted Shiksha from him. So as we know, we have the Parampara line as a Shiksha: Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. So by taking initiation from Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj, he actually accepted Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur as his, you know, spiritual uncle. So after receiving initiation from Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj, he spent 30 years in Vrindavan, serving deities and doing his bhajan in seclusion. After that, Bhagavad Das Babaji Maharaj told him to go to Navadeep and stay there and never leave Navadeep. So it was instruction of the spiritual master not to leave Navadeep and spend his time in meditating on the supreme pastime of the Lord and doing bhajan in Sri Navadeep Dham. So when Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, after receiving the Babaji initiation, he entered Navadeep Mandal. He came to Swanand Sukhat Kunj, and there, in this is somewhere in 1897, where he came and he entered Swanand Sukhat Kunj because, you know, he somehow or other, not being so much literate, it was found in Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj that he had amazing revelations in his heart. you know, those devotees who are the akinchan bhaktas of the Lord, you know, the essence of the Vedic literature is awakened in their hearts. And somehow or other, Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj had such amazing realization and revelations. You know, not only revelations, but he knew, you know, he could actually understand what the intentions of the other person is. And in that way, he exposed so many other imposters who were moving on as, you know, Bhajanandis. Because of his beautiful worship in Vrindavan, he himself had got the title from the Vrijavasis that he is a Bhajanandi, one who takes pleasure in doing bhajan, in worshipping the Lord and singing the glories of the Lord. So, as he entered Swaran Sukhat Kunj, he had got the beautiful legacy from his spiritual master, a tiger skin cap and a tiger skin bag in which he used to carry the deity worship paraphernalia. And when he came there, he gave all this paraphernalia to the elder son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Saraswati Thakur. That time, he had not taken sannyas. So when he gave few strands of thread, because it is said that his only position was the Kanti Mala, and many times he used to chant on thread. He used to make knots in thread and chant. So those threads he gave to Srila Saraswati Thakur. And then, knowing well the advanced stature of Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj, Bhaktivinoda Thakur told his son that you must take initiation from this great soul, and before taking initiation, don't come back to the house. So Srila Saraswati Thakur made so many attempts of appeasing Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj in a very humble mood, praying to him that please give me, grant me initiation. But somehow or other, Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj considered Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur to be very humble and said that you are son of my spiritual master. You know, you are so advanced. How can I give you initiation? But after repeated pleas, one day Srila Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he pleaded to Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj that if you don't give me initiation, I will jump off this pool. The pool which connects Navadeep and Mayapur. There's a pool behind. So he said, I'll jump off this pool and I have no other recluse but to take initiation. My father has told me to take initiation only from you, and he shall not see my face until unless I accept your initiation. So then Srila Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj, he initiated, he initiated Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur and named him Varshabhanavi Daita Das. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur started taking care of Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj. Gaurakeshwardas Babaji Maharaj was very much known for his renunciation and his advanced nature. So many people used to come to take his blessings. Many devotees used to come. But looking at the faces of those devotees, understanding their inclination, Babaji Maharaj used to reciprocate. He was very well known for his sharp cutting words. One day, a merchant came with a other friend, and just as his friend entered the area where he was sitting, suddenly he showed ecstatic trance, that friend. And this merchant came and he said, you know, Babaji Maharaj, I've got one of my friends who's a great devotee. Please, you know, we want to discuss the Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Rai Samvad. Please help us and give us more. So looking at in a fierce way at that merchant, he said that if you want to know Krishna Katha, leave the association of this rascal imposter. You know, suddenly all his disciples also were sitting down, all those who were sitting and listening his Katha, they said, you know, looking at him and looking at his external, it seems like he's immersed in love for Krishna. How come Babaji Maharaj is saying that? But he had that power. Suddenly he would understand what a Babaji is doing in Vrindavan. He's one day, as he was giving discourse, he suddenly shouted, "Look, look, look what that Babaji is doing. This is in night." He's saying that this Babaji is having illicit connection with that widow. Just see what has happened. This man calls himself Bhajanandi and carries this lady with him, and whatever money is collected by his bhajan, he spends on this lady. Just look at the way these imposters are fooling people. And one day, when he was giving katha, he suddenly said, "This is the time for Rathyatra." And he started describing the Rathyatra celebrations of many places. And not only that, he started describing what all feasts are served there and what all celebration will happen there. And he told those people, "You all might be wanting to go there. Better is to go to that celebration and attend that function." And after that, many people left. So after that, he gave a very sigh of relief and said, "Those who are not qualified to hear Krishna Katha have finally left. They were not interested in Krishna Katha, but they were just interested in the blessings that I give." So one day, some devotees mentioned to Babaji Maharaj that there is a famous son of this Goswami who is very famous for his knowledge of Bhagavatam and who shouts in between. He says, "Gaura, Gaura, Gaura, Gaura." In between of his katha, he is shouting, "Gaura, Gaura." So suddenly, Babaji Maharaj said, "He is an imposter. He does not know anything. When he says, 'Gaura, Gaura,' He's saying more, more. He's saying he wants more money, he wants more money." That was his power. Although he might not see a person, but suddenly he would understand what that person's reality is. And when he saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he understood his great devotion. And he was so much in humility, he used to call, although Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was his disciple, he used to call him and address him as, "O Prabhu." He used to call him, "O my Prabhu, you are my Prabhu." In 1908, he lost his vision. So Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur told him, "I'll take you to Calcutta, I'll take you to the hospital, treat you, I will serve you, arrange for you everything. Please come with me." Suddenly, in a great panic, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji got up and said, "I can't take service from my Guru. I can't take service from my Prabhu. Please, I can't take service from you. It's better to jump in Ganges and commit suicide. I'm ready to become a ghost, but I can't take service from you." It was very well known that he would never take service from anybody. And after saying that, he just ran out of the house. And Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur was trying to call him back, pursue him back, but suddenly he disappeared. And for 45 days, nobody could find him where he is. Such was his nature. Would never take service from anybody and always immersed in his own bhajan. It was his principle to not take food from materially minded people. Many times, many devotees came and offered him nice foodstuffs. And he would say, "Vishayir anna khayla dushta hoy man." If I eat this food contaminated with material vibes, I will not be able to do my bhajan properly. I will not be able to concentrate on my bhajan if this materially contaminated food is there. He told a lawyer who came and was taking shelter of Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He said, "If you want to really hear Krishna Katha, stop taking food at different people's house and just only eat the remnants of the Lord. If the materially minded people food you will eat, that the vibration will enter your mind and you will not be able to concentrate on the beautiful Lord." As a couple who was serving him nicely, they finally told him that, "Please, you take a residence in our house. So he said, okay. They were in Navdeep. So he said, okay. He was highly against anybody claiming the land of Dham as their own. He rebuked so many of his disciples who bought so much land. But this couple, understanding their sincerity and devotion, he was ready to take residence in their house. But he said, I would like to stay in your toilet and do my bhajan there. So suddenly this couple was shocked as to, no toilet? Why in toilet? He said, no. If I'll stay, I'll stay in your toilet there. So they thoroughly cleaned that toilet. And he stayed there and did that bhajan. He did his meditation, his japa there. It was famous that he would take residence at a boat which is upside down and stay under there, and he would throw the fish bones outside the boat, so that anybody who passes by would see those bones and understand, oh, he's a fish eater, and he would leave that place and would not come and bother him. So he would make all the arrangements so that the people who are seeking for, bhajan, blessings, Ashirvad Baba, would not come to him and bother him. So like that, there are so many pastimes of Srila Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj, where he displayed his supreme renunciation. And then he was very famous for his classes on Chaitanya Charitamrita and Chaitanya Bhagavata. He would regularly discourse to devotees, and in ecstatic love, he would describe the pastimes of Lord Gaura. The two possessions he also had was Prema Bhakti Chandrika and Prarthana, these two books of Narottam Das Thakur. And he said that, the love of God can be achieved just in few anas. So, people would understand, few anas and love of Godhead. He said, yes, these two books, Prarthana and Prema Bhakti Chandrika, just if somebody makes these books their life and soul, the essence of the entire Vedic literature, the essence of the pastimes of the Lord is mentioned in these two books. So finally, on the November 17th, 1915, Srila Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj, he entered into the pastimes of Krishna on the Uthana Ekadashi. Just after the passing away, there was a great commotion in Navadvip as to all the samadhi, all the different temple Goswamis. They tried to own the body of Shripad Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj and said that, we will give samadhi and we will make his samadhi in our temple. The whole idea behind this was, because he was such a great soul, people would come to bow down to his samadhi, and they will get funds for their own sense gratification. So everybody was ready to claim. At that time, a brahmachari, Shri Saraswati Thakur, was residing at Mayapur, at Navadvip. And there, he was already a guru, a brahmachari guru. And he had so many disciples. So, coming with his brahmachari disciple, he covered his head with a green chadar. Now, because his head was covered with hair because of Chaturmasa, he had a beard, he had long hair. So he came there in a serious mood. And as he entered that arena where everybody was shouting, and as they saw Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they understood that, the real hire has come. So here, they shouted, he's not a sannyasi. How can he give samadhi to a person who has left his house? So with a tumultuous roar, like a thunder, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he claimed, he said, I am the only disciple of Srila Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj, and I am a celibate, and I have tried to follow his teachings and served him with earnest sincerity. If anybody who wants to touch the body of my spiritual master fulfills these conditions, he can come ahead and touch. If that person has not had in past 1 year, 6 months, or at least 3 months, a week, at least 3 days, anybody of you who has not had an illicit connection with a woman can touch the body of my spiritual master, and if he has not, he can come here. And if he will, who is not qualified, he will vanquish. He will call for his ruination. And that is my word. You know, to handle the whole commotion, there was a inspector there. And this inspector was not like, you know, inspector at that time was a very big post. And there, he was a commissioner actually. His name is Rai Bahadur Yatindranath Sinha. So he was amazed. He said to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, he said, you know, just you have faith on these people that, you know, they will say that, you know, they didn't have innocent connection and they will touch the body of the Lord and they'll take him. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur looked at the inspector and said, no, I have faith on their words. And this is mentioned in the Saraswati Jayashri, the biography of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur by his disciples, that how they were amazed to see that all those Babajis and those Samadhi owners of different temples, they just got up and one by one left. And after that, one person said, you know, it was a desire of Babaji Maharaj to tie his legs and, you know, drag him on the streets of Mayapur so that his body be covered with, you know, the dust of Mayapur. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur said, he said, you know, although we are fools, although we are ignorant, but we understand what is the purport of the desires of the spiritual master and his humility. Just as the body of Srila Haridas Thakur was honored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by holding them in his hands, with all our efforts, we will try to honor him by taking him with great respect in our own hands. And all of them carried the body of Srila Gaurakishwara Babaji Maharaj and offered him samadhi. After 15 years, because of the flow of Ganges, the samadhi was in, you know, a lot of bad condition, and somehow or other the samadhi had to be urgently shifted. Again, that time there was a commotion, and at that time Srila Saraswati Thakur said, those who are sincere will be able to relocate the samadhi of Babaji Maharaj. And then the disciples of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, they were able to properly, you know, take out the body and give it samadhi in Vrajapatana near Radhakund. This is near the Chandrasekhar Bhavan, where his samadhi was again reinstated. You know, the senior-most disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, Kunj Bihari Vidya Bhushan, who was later initiated as Bhakti Vilas Tirth Maharaj, was very, very cynical and very, very against the sadhus of those times because he had seen so many malpractices. So as he went and heard the katha of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, and that time he was speaking on this verse of, he was giving discourse. At that time, Srila Kunj Bihari, you know, somehow or other, he got that desire to serve, you know, or desire to actually take shelter of sadhus. And they went and, he went and again asked for more katha. So that time, Srila Gaurakishwara Babaji Maharaj directed him to go to his disciple, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And then he went to Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. And it said that when he heard the classes of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, then and there, although he having such a secure background, he left everything, coming from a wealthy family, he joined on this very day of his disappearance. So, on this great holy day of the disappearance day of Srila Gaurakishwara Babaji Maharaj, we offer earnest prayers at his lotus feet that we can get a grain of the love for Krishna and the Krishna Katha that he had, and so we can distinguish as to what is real bhakti and what is imitation bhakti. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Gaurakishwara Das Babaji Maharaj ki, Nitai Gaur Premanande. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि अनंत कोटि।